all the way to New York. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
The temperatures are going to be so low in the eastern portion of the United States that the usual salt that you would use, you can't use the normal amount. It's just too cold.
At least five people were killed in crashes in Kansas and Missouri. The cleanup continues in Washington, D.C. CBS's Rob Marciano is there.
A relatively small fleet of plows is struggling to keep the roads clear. Work crews using smaller scale tactics to move the snow, power sweepers, and leaf blowers on sidewalks.
In New Orleans, President Biden spoke at a memorial. President Biden spoke at a memorial for the 14 people killed in the New Year's Day truck attack on Bourbon Street.
New Orleans defines strength and resilience. You define it.
He ordered more federal resources to help with Mardi Gras next month's Super Bowl. Former President Jimmy Carter's remains are being transferred from his native Georgia to Washington today. Correspondent Jim Crisula is in Marietta.
His body will be accompanied by his extended family aboard an Air Force plane designated Special Air Mission 39 in tribute to the nation's 39th president. The plane will leave Dobbins Air Reserve Base near here for a two-hour flight to Joint Base Andrews outside the nation's capital.
4 years after George Floyd's murder, lawmakers in Minneapolis have approved an agreement with the federal government to overhaul the city's police training and use of force policies. Mayor Jacob Frey.
This legally binding agreement will give the city additional tools and the clarity as we continue doing the hard work about building trust and accountability in our communities.
The days of the Biden administration numbered and the president's moving quickly to transfer detainees out of Guantanamo Bay. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
The latest transfers involved 11 Yemeni men. They'd been held for two decades. They were sent to Oman. This is the biggest push yet by the Biden administration to clear out the last remaining detainees never charged with a crime.
15 remain. It's been a decade since gunmen claiming allegiance to Al-Qaeda stormed the offices of a satirical newspaper in France, killing 12. The BBC's Hugh Schofield is in Paris.
10 years on, Charlie Hebdo continues to put out a weekly edition, but they do it from offices whose whereabouts are kept secret and with staff who require round-the-clock police protection.
President Macron is leading a tribute at the site of the attack. This is CBS News.
Nothing makes a gathering great like Eggland's Best Eggs. They're just so delicious, with better nutrition, too. For us, it's eggs any style, as long as they're the best. Eggland's Best.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. If you check the Racine City Council agenda for tonight, you'll see some scheduled church chat. The council will convene to consider a $2 million proposal aimed at converting the former St. Nicholas Episcopal Church property into affordable housing. The plan involves tearing down the church and putting in four new homes for qualified low-income residents. The city council meeting, the first of the year, starts at 6 tonight. There's a town hall in Kenosha this week to talk about raising taxes. The Kenosha Unified School District is hosting a series of town hall meetings to discuss a proposed operational referendum aimed at addressing financial challenges. The first meeting is scheduled for Thursday at Bradford High School. Officials will try to explain how the $23 million revenue limit increase could help close a projected deficit. If approved in February, the referendum would result in a property tax increase of about $250 for the owner of a $200,000 home. And Racine and Kenosha topped out at around 5 inches. Snow totals from yesterday vary depending on the area, some more, some a lot less. Areas further west didn't see any at all. Snow may return this weekend. We'll get a look at the forecast coming up. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WRJN.com.
The Badgers win on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers with a Big Ten conference win at Rutgers, 75-63. John Blackwell leading with 21 points. Head coach Greg Gard after the game.
We know we're always in for a battle when we come here. Life on the road in the Big Ten is very difficult. So when you can get road wins and lead wire to wire like we did, a really good team win and obviously a lot of contributions from across the board.
NBA, the Bucks snapped a two-game losing streak with a 128-104 decision over the Raptors in Toronto, Chris Middleton sitting out with ankle tendonitis. NFL, Matt LaFleur says that Packers wide receiver Christian Watson suffered a torn ACL in Sunday's loss to the Bears. Watson will spend the next year recovering.
I know he'll attack it the right way. He'll handle the adversity. It'll just be a bump in the road for him, and I think he'll come back better. That's just how he is built. That's how he's wired. There'll be good. It's just going to be down the road.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For today, a partly sunny sky and a high in the mid-20s. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the low teens, and mostly cloudy for tomorrow. Highs in the low 20s. A little more in the way of sunshine and warming up to the upper 20s on Thursday. Currently, it's 12 degrees.
I think when people meet me, they think they're giving me a compliment. They go, "That's your name, Rocky?" And I go, "Yeah." And they go, "I got a dog named Rocky." My father gave me that name, and I had a typical Italian dad, you know, like every day if I used to go to school, he was listening to me. He goes, "You don't rat on nobody." Yeah. He goes, "You don't know nothing." He goes, "You don't see nothing, and you didn't do nothing." So we're in history class, and a nun comes over there, and she's like, "Rock, I want you to tell me who killed President Kennedy." I go, "I didn't do it." She goes, "I know you didn't do it. Tell me who did." I go, "I didn't see nothing." Yeah. So she calls my father up to school. She goes, "He's this kid who killed Kennedy. He told me he didn't do it." My old man goes, "Hey, the kid said he didn't do it. He didn't do it." Yeah.
Song that goes, "Over the hills and through the woods, to grandmother's house we go"?
Sure, only this is the way it goes. "Over the river and through the woods, to grandmother's house we go. The horse has a way to carry the sleigh through the wide and drifting snow. Over the river and through the woods, oh, how the wind is low. It stings the toes and bites the nose, so over the ground we go."
Well, there's only one thing wrong with that.
What's that, Charlie Brown?
My grandmother lives in a condominium.
That's about the size of it. Poor Charlie Brown. Goodness. He never has that football to kick, and his poor grandma doesn't live over the river and through the woods. All right, we're going to talk about the show Over the River and Through the Woods, coming to the Racine Theater Guild January 10th. That's my mother. It was my mother's anniversary.
Oh,
yeah, January.
Lovely.
It's funny the dates when you get them in your head here.
Stick in your head.
And we're here with Jocelyn Fish, who is the marketing director and director of development for the Racine Theater Guild, and Dan Venny, who is one of the stars of the show.
Yes.
Wow.
Which part do you play? The condominium?
No, I'm a grandfather. I'm Frank Gianelli.
How many shows have you been at the Racine Theater Guild? I know your face, so yeah, I know you've been in a lot.
I think it might be six.
Oh, it's got to be more than that.
600?
He's been involved since 97?
Yeah, 97. Yeah.
Somewhere between 6 and 600.
I was in Joseph way back in 97.
Yeah, I saw that.
I did Guys on Ice kind of recently, a couple of years ago. I was just in Cabaret.
Yeah, on Golden Pond.
Yeah, who'd you play in Cabaret? So that was a great show.
Herr Schultz.
Okay.
He was with the Pineapple Song with Betty.
The Pineapple Song.
Yeah.
That was me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had a little beard thing going on.
That was cut from the movie.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, you make Lovely a movie, song. Why don't you just put the whole thing in there? Now, Guys on Ice, what was that? Was that about
the two ice fishermen?
Yes, I saw that. That was great. Yeah.
We loved it. Well,
Was that an original or?
No, that, well, it's a, was developed up in Door County, Wisconsin, and it's been performed
Peninsula
now all over the country.
Yeah, but, we saw that. Was great. You were in that
it's
little
It's great because it's got lots
shanty.
Of Wisconsin
fish
humor.
Shanty, and the fish shanty with the beer.
One of the songs was running through my head yesterday. But where is that coming from? It's been about 3 years, I think. Is
it almost.
Something like that.
Every time I meet an actor, I say, how do you, and especially live shows, and movies, they can take it again and again and again and again until you get it right. But in live shows, you got one shot to get it right.
Oh, my gosh.
And sometimes you can get away with the wrong line because the person you're playing against can cover for you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't get away with the line.
Right.
We had a few things happen in that show. Power going out.
Yeah.
Music cues didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And we had to kind of like
In the Fish Shanty one?
Yeah.
You would never know.
The power went out?
Well, not maybe your show, but...
you mean in the theater?
Yeah, well, we had a power surge kind of thing, yeah.
Or you didn't pay your bills. No. We energy.
No,
right?
Come on.
Buy tickets, people, buy tickets.
Okay, and... I was going to say something brilliant, and I forgot what it was. I don't know how you remember your line. See, I have one line I've got to say over and over again today. Local news and timeless hits.
And it's written out.
And they've got it. Now as it's written out, they put it in one of those Dymo label things.
So you can't lose it.
So I can't move it. It just stays there forever. Mm-hmm. And every station I work at, you got to put it up. There's one line I got to remember, and I can't remember it.
Yeah.
But kudos to you guys. How many times did it take you before you memorize the lines to a show?
Well, they say 21 times saying something and you have it, but I must have done it 2,100 times.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I do it 3 times a day. I run through the whole script. Mm-hmm.
Now, your lines are dependent on the person you're speaking against.
Right.
And what if they blow the line? What if they're ahead of the game and they skip a line?
Everyone's just got to stay on their toes.
A week ago, we'd be saying, line, you know, if we lost a line or we didn't have a line, and then someone would feed it to us. Now that has disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
So you're out there and you have to figure something out. Last night that happened. We had to figure something out.
Yep.
And you just start to say what you have to be in the moment. You have to be in the scene. You have to realize what's going on.
You mean your rehearsal last night?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you go from there. So it's tricky.
Or you could be like Ralph Cramden. I'm going to, I'm going to, I'm going to, I'm going to.
Yeah. Well, in this show, there's a lot of back and forth, mm-hmm. real fast, snappy four grandparents who are always in your face with each other. And
like one of those 1940s movies.
Yes.
They just very.
Yeah.
We just saw a couple of films the other day on TCM. And they're fast going back mm-hmm. and forth with those lines.
It's snappy. It mm-hmm. is snappy.
But then again, if they miss it, they can do it over.
Yes.
Right.
We cannot do that.
No.
And there's four not real young people trying to remember their lines, so it's tricky.
Well, here's the other thing. You don't have a type of theater where somebody can be in the wings yelling lines at you.
You are
because
thrust.
Everything's out in the open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not as bad as the fireside, which is in the round.
Yeah,
and there's definitely
close,
nowhere to go.
Yeah.
But you have nowhere to go. Do you wear earpieces?
No.
Give you the line?
No.
They work through it.
Yeah, you have to work.
I would never survive.
Theater magic.
I would never survive.
It's like a miracle.
Okay, so the latest production where they have to memorize their lines is Over the River and Through the Woods.
Yes.
Is this like the song, or isn't like a dysfunctional family type thing?
It is a dysfunctional. We love a dysfunctional family at the theater.
I heard the commercial we run, so that's
yes,
all I do.
It is a big Italian family. So kind of the summation of everything is Nick is a young man and in his prime, ready to move on with his life, but he lives near all four of his grandparents. And mm-hmm. so every Sunday he goes over and has dinner with them. And, you know, they've gotten used to that tradition and they feed him abundant amount of food. They
food
nag him.
Love,
they
yeah.
guilt him. They mm-hmm. they love him in every way they can. And he announces he gets this big promotion in Seattle and he wants to move. And of course they are distraught about it. And it kind of ends up that he learns even more about who his grandparents were and what family means to them after this announcement, because he realizes like he was just spending time with them as a routine. And now he has the chance to really get to know who they are and where they came from, which I think is a lovely
aww.
Thing.
Yeah.
And it's got a lot of heart to it. It's got a lot. You know these people.
Right.
That's the amazing thing. You sit there and you watch it and you're like, oh, I know that couple. I've met them in real life.
Yes,
and was your family that close?
I had a big family. I only had one grandmother, though, growing up. So this is really interesting to watch the dynamic of having all four grandparents in this young man's life. And it's based off of the playwright's real life.
Right.
DiPietro, I think.
I'm
yeah. He also wrote I Love You, You're Perfect Now, Change, the musical. And so this is very much based off of his Italian family. And God, it's just a lovely, lovely show.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Dan? Big family?
Close? Yeah, I'm number six in my family. I'm the baby of
whoa.
Six. Yeah.
Wow. We had a big family. I have no relatives left, hardly anymore. They're all gone. But, I mean, my brother wouldn't like me saying that because he lives in Kenosha now. But we had two families, one in Brooklyn, one in Queens. Mm. And when we got together, they were huge. It's just a matter of, we never combined them, but separates, they were huge.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the holiday, we went from Brooklyn to Queens, Queens to Brooklyn, back and forth, back and forth. But I loved having a big family. Mm-hmm. And everybody got along in the families. Yeah. There was no gossiping that I knew of. I mean, they may have behind the scenes. Everybody got along. Yeah. Nobody had fights with their family. My mother got along with her in-laws. And yeah. Everybody got along with everybody. Yeah. And I love that.
I reread the script last night. And one of the things that did stick out to me are it's not a direct fight. It's a talking to you in different ways kind of fight that happens a few times in this script. And I think that's one of these things where you read it and you just, you know, these people, mm-hmm. you're in their living room and you're experiencing this with them because it's such a well-written thing.
Oh, listen to that. We have time to take a break. We hear the magic music. It's time to take a break. See, this is something I do automatically. I shut my phone off when I walk in the building.
I did, too.
That's okay. It was a nice song. At least it wasn't one of those,
Right?
My mother's later years, she couldn't, sometimes she lived by herself. She was 92 years old. She lived by herself.
Yeah.
And sometimes she didn't hear the phone ring. She had good hearing, but she didn't hear the phone ring. So I put on the most annoying sound, and it was one of those,
That's it.
So when I called her, she wanted to run to the phone to stop the noise, and it wasn't nice like that. It was really annoying and stuff. All right, we're talking to Jocelyn Fish and Dan Venny. Dan Venny's in the newest production at the Racine Theater Guild, Over the River and Through the Woods. Opens up January 10th, runs to the 26th. This is a long one.
Yeah, three weekends.
Yeah, because the last one I went to, and we'll talk about that, The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. I love that show.
Great.
I got to find out where you get these kids to act. I mean, there are a lot of them in that show.
Yes.
All right, so we're talking with Jocelyn and Dan. More to come up. It's 7:16, local news and timeless hits. Right now, here's the Entertainment Beat.
On your Entertainment Beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Actor Craig T. Nelson belted out the national anthem before the Bears-Packers game on Sunday. The actor stars in Green and Gold, a film about a farmer who bets on the Green Bay Packers to save his Wisconsin farm, part of which was shot in Door County. The 80-year-old actor complimented the Packer fan base and called the opportunity of standing near the Packers logo at Lambeau Field an absolute thrill. Green and Gold hits theaters January 31st. Frontmen don't do humble, but today, I was. Those are the words of U2 lead singer Bono, who received the Presidential Medal of Honor from President Joe Biden last weekend. Other recipients of the award went to Hillary Clinton, Irvin Magic Johnson, Bill Nye the Science Guy, Michael J. Fox, and conservationist Jane Goodall. Bono is the winner of 22 Grammy Awards in his career. The White House said he was selected for the Medal of Freedom due to his tireless work against HIV and poverty. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Fountain Hills Apartment in Racine has an incredibly rare opening of a one-bedroom apartment with a special extended 15-month lease. Fountain Hills in Mount Pleasant was named number one for senior living by senioradvisor.com. With amenities like on-site management and heated parking, Fountain Hills' top priority is safety with a locked lobby and thorough cleaning. Grab this rare one-bedroom apartment today at fountainhillsapartments.com or call 262-886-9200 right away.
Hi, Jenny from Big Deals. I bet you're like me. You worked so hard to make sure everyone got just what they wanted over the holidays that a little something for yourself would be really nice. Well, here you go. Announcing Treat Yourself Tuesday. Today and today only, save an extra 15% off any gift certificates in our store. No promo code necessary. Why? Because you're worth it. Hurry in and get yours today.
Go to WRJN.com and click on the Big Deals banner for amazing savings right now.
Here's to a Wisconsin winter you will always remember. To playing outdoors in a winter wonderland. Here's to cozying up around the fire and holding someone close. And to staying downtown, where the food scene makes your heart sing. And to celebrating moments frozen in time. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your winter getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a thought about whether fancy cookware is worth your hard-earned dollars. I love cooking, so I have done a lot of research to figure out what is worth my money. One thing I know, fancy nonstick is a no-go. Don't do it. Nonstick pans wear out after a year, maybe two. Once the surface of the pan gets all scrapey-scratchy, you gotta throw it out and you gotta replace it. I replace mine roughly once a year. Here's another tip. Don't buy a set of pans. Buy the cookware you need one piece at a time as you need it. For most tasks in my house, cheap cast iron is the go-to. I like it from a yard sale, but if you got to buy new at the store, you can do that too. And this leaves room to say, yeah, if you love to cook, a high-end all-clad or Le Creuset pot, that is the occasional treat that I think can be worth it. Although I would still wait for them to go on sale. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
For 98 years, you found WRJN right where we've always been, at 1400 AM. And now, you can also pull us in on FM at 99.9 in Racine and 98.1 in Kenosha, along with the Civic Media app, anywhere you travel. Yep, the timeless hits were made famous on the AM dial, but that clear FM stereo ain't bad either. Local news and timeless hits, now on WRJN AM and FM.
We're talking about the latest production at the Racine Theater Guild. Everybody's got their phones off.
Yes, we're ready.
Everybody's got their car horns off. Yes. Everything in the park.
I'm ready. Good. All right.
Over the Rover and through the over the river and through the woods. I can't remember the name. And Jocelyn Fish, who's the director of marketing development at the Racine Theater Guild, and Dan Benny, who's in the latest production. And did you, when you audition for a production, do you audition for a part, or you just want to be in the show and then you get the part?
You can do it either way. You can say, I will only take this part, or you can say, I'll take anything. And I kind of said I would take it. There were only about two parts that I'm the right age for anyway, so, and the right gender. So I just said I would take either one. It didn't matter. Yeah.
Both great roles. I mean, yeah. Again, back to my point earlier of because this is so well written, these characters aren't just like two dimensional. They're actual, they have backstories. You have, Dan has this huge monologue at the end of the show that is so well done, well written, and then well performed. And when you're talking about a line load and other stuff you have to learn, like we were just talking about, he also had to learn the ukulele for this show.
Yeah.
Did you ever play it before?
I play guitar, sort of, and I taught myself.
So you know how to work frets and everything, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I knew. I mean, I've done that fingers, you know, and playing chords and things, but my guitar has six strings and a ukulele has four, so chords are not the same at all.
My brother plays the 12-string guitar.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Which is beautiful to listen
to. It's very pretty because it's how he does double the strings.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah. Remember Al Molinaro? He was on the TV show Happy Days. Before that, he played Murray the Cop on the TV show The Odd Couple. And many episodes, he brought out his ukulele. And he played it very well. Mm-hmm. And he did it in a few episodes. And I said, I wonder if he learned it for the show or just knew it. I think he had to know it. And they just wrote it into the show, him and his ukulele. I was going to say, this show starts on the 10th.
Yes, this Friday.
Opening night. Mm-hmm. Are you nervous? I mean, I'd be scared to death.
I'm nervous. Like we were talking about.
But before, once you get going.
Yeah. Well, I'm nervous before I go on. But once you get in it, you're in it. And I'm not so nervous then. But that energy helps propel you forward into your scene and your character and everything.
Yeah. Audience is a huge
It's truly
help.
An ensemble cast.
Mm-hmm. They all say that.
It really is.
At the Academy Awards, every time an actor wins, they say, this is really an ensemble win.
I'd like to thank all my fellow cast.
Long as it's an ensemble win, why don't we give your Academy Award to each person in there? Everybody keeps it in mind. How many seats are there at the Theater Guild?
Just under 400.
So you got 400 judgmental people waiting to see how you're going to do.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, I have judgmental people out there listening, but at least I can't see their faces right now, right. So I don't know what they're doing.
Starting like last week, we entered the theater. We had been working in the green room, the lower level of the theater, and now we're on the stage, and slowly some people are watching us, so it kind of becomes a gradual, there are eyes on me, and by Thursday night when we have our preview audience, it won't be so overwhelming, but it really changes.
So you do a preview show, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like Broadway, they do previews.
Yeah. All right. Just to work out any kinks. I mean, that's what this week is called Tech Week, and it's a lot of moving parts. I mean, you can figure out all of a sudden that a pair of pants doesn't fit, or this light tube wasn't in the right place. Or
a pair of pants doesn't fit.
That happens.
That's a bad thing.
It happens.
How does that happen?
And so, you know, it just, you work with it, and you find new solutions, and by Thursday and Friday, it's ready to go.
I've been working on my lines, like I said, a couple times a day. And the other day, my granddaughters and my son came over and I started to do a monologue for them. And I forgot what I had to say because they were looking at me. It does change things.
I know before every production, they say, please turn your cell phones off. And there's somebody who doesn't do it.
No, right, absolutely. Yeah. Those people, show, how dare they?
And you don't hear a nice, pleasant ring. You hear stuff like, you know, pick up the phone, pick up the phone. Yeah, yeah. They always want these. So, and it takes them a year and a day to get it out of the purse, get it out of their back pockets, wherever they're keeping their cell phones. Is that that's got to be annoying.
It can take a person out of the moment.
Don't you want to break character and say, excuse me? Because they do that on Broadway occasionally.
They break character and tell people.
There was one they showed, I forget who the actor was, Lee. He stopped the show and said, give me that phone. And they took the phone from somebody in the front
row. I mean, that's the biggest thing is it's not only, you know, it's a distraction because it interrupts the flow of the audience experiencing the show, but it's a very big distraction for the actors. Right. And so, you know, it's more of a common courtesy thing. It's not only that, yes, it went off in the middle of the audience, but if you want to respect the people around you and the people on stage, it's just a simple silence it.
Every once in a while behind me, I have a season ticket. So the people in front of me, for years, they've been sitting there, but the people behind me are a change. And occasionally I'll have someone, what did he say? I feel like turning around, do you have those headphones?
Yeah, we do. We have assisted listening devices.
What did he say? Or how about this? Oh, I bet he does this next. Will you stop? I know you didn't see this before. All right, we got a whole schedule of shows coming up at the Theater Guild. I still want to talk about that best Christmas pageant ever. I didn't see the movie. Did you?
No, I have not.
Because it was in theaters
I was in the show when I was like in second grade.
So you did acting.
Once upon a time, yes.
We got to talk about my acting career in high school. I contributed a lot to a show once, and I'll tell you what that's all about coming up. All right, Jocelyn Fish and Dan Venny from the Racine Theater Guild, their latest production, Over the River and Through the Woods. More coming up in just a moment, but right now we've got Paul Harvey and...
The rest of the story. Bill hated his job. And his professional misery was sufficiently profound to impress and even to affect everyone around him. It was, he said, an intolerable job. Bill often apologized for having landed it in the first place. He was no good at it, and he knew it. He made sure everybody else knew it as well. And as though the work itself were not distasteful enough, there was simply not enough vacation time to suit Bill, even though he vacationed more than anyone who'd ever held that position before. Any excuse to be away from the desk, he took. Which to a great many people was confounding, because that desk was in the Oval Office of the White House. Bill, the reluctant president, was William Howard Taft. The job he really wanted... Well, that's the rest of the story. It would be difficult to minimize how miserable Taft was as President of the United States. The presidency was not a position to be enjoyed by a sensitive man, he once said. The affairs of state, which he called the game, were a perpetual source of bewilderment and exasperation to him. In recurring fits of wishful thinking, he often referred to Teddy Roosevelt as the president. On his own inauguration day, Taft's mood was grim. But the day he left office, he was ecstatic. He even came out and told his successor, Wilson, "I will be glad to be leaving." And then when it was all over, he wrote with great satisfaction, quote, "I don't remember that I even was president. It had all been like one big bad dream." You see, what Taft had wanted, what he repeatedly called the ambition of his life, was to serve on the United States Supreme Court. Justice Taft was what he had always wished most to be. While Taft was governor of the Philippines, Teddy Roosevelt twice offered him a Supreme Court appointment. His heart's desire might then have been fulfilled. And although Taft declined so as not to desert the people of the Philippines, he regretted those missed opportunities from then on. Taft's judicial experience was considerable. He'd been 3 years on the state bench, 2 years as U.S. Solicitor General, 8 years as U.S. Circuit Court Judge, and more. But the one position for which he had longed most continued to elude him. Once when Taft was gazing upon a bronze statue of Chief Justice John Marshall, somebody asked, "Would you rather have been he than president?" And Taft answered quickly, "Of course." Of course. In 1921, almost a decade after Taft had left the White House, President Harding appointed him Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And thus, at long last, a lifelong dream had come true. I say a lifelong dream because, well, psychologists are going to theorize endlessly about the significance of what I'm about to relate. You and I will deal just with the facts. And these are the facts. These words, to be Chief Justice of the United States is more than to be president. These words, which Taft spoke so often, are readily traceable in many documents to their original source in the family. In the family. For they were first uttered by his father when he, William Howard Taft, was 7. And now you know the rest of the story.
Yeah, we've got another rest of the story coming up with Dan Marcus at 12:05 today to learn how your business can be a sponsor in one of the most popular shows ever to air on WRJN. Just call us during business hours, 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. You can also order a pizza at that number. We deliver at 7:30 on the nose. Let's check news, see what's going on. Here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. If you check the Racine City Council agenda for tonight, you'll see some scheduled church chat. The council will convene to consider a $2 million proposal aimed at converting the former St. Nicholas Episcopal Church property into affordable housing. The plan involves tearing down the church and putting in 4 new homes for qualified low-income residents. The city council meeting, the first of the year, starts at 6 tonight. There's a town hall in Kenosha this week to talk about raising taxes. The Kenosha Unified School District is hosting a series of town hall meetings to discuss a proposed operational referendum aimed at addressing financial challenges. The first meeting is scheduled for Thursday at Bradford High School. Officials will try to explain how the $23 million revenue limit increase could help close a projected deficit. If approved in February, the referendum would result in a property tax increase of about $250 for the owner of a $200,000 home. And Racine and Kenosha topped out at around 5 inches. Snow totals from yesterday vary depending on the area, some more, some a lot less. Areas further west didn't see any at all. Snow may return this weekend. We'll get a look at the forecast coming up. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
It seems a hot topic the past few years has been the use of renewable energy instead of fossil fuels, and this includes wind energy. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report, and Pete Morris, a Grant County resident who hosts group informational sessions about wind energy projects, is here to explain some of these projects that are popping up in Wisconsin.
Really, we've seen an influx, particularly in southwest Wisconsin, of potential wind projects. A Badger Hollow project just got submitted to the Public Service Commission that's located in the Montfort area down in Grant County. And there are actually 4 different energy developers who are actively signing up lease agreements across Grant County. And so it's a very hot topic in our part of the state. For a lot of folks, the first time they hear about it is maybe when a neighbor or somebody close to their residence or farm has signed up, and it's the first time they've maybe heard about these projects. And so we're trying to help educate folks and help them make informed decisions.
Moore says that if one of these projects gets proposed to you, not to completely disregard it right away, and to make sure to do all the necessary research to make an informed decision on whether this would be beneficial for you. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe, and we'll take a look at those markets right after this.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up seed treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at HeadsUpST.com.
Make the best of wintertime fun at the 4th Annual Sun Prairie Frozen Fest, January 29th through February 2nd, presented by the Bank of Sun Prairie. It's a fantastic opportunity to enjoy a variety of winter activities like the puzzle contest, cardboard sled classic, winter beer garden, bonfire, hibernation hustle 5K, pancake breakfast, and the 77th Annual Groundhog Day Prognostication. For more about Frozen Fest, log on to cityofsunprairie.com.
Now let's take a look at what the markets are doing this morning. Cash crop corn is down 4.25 at 453.5, and new crop corn is down 2.5 at 443. Cash crop soybeans are down 10 cents at 482.5, and new crop is down 9.5 at 1003.5. Cash wheat is down 5 at 535.5, and new crop wheat is down 4.75 at 556.25. Class 3 milk contracts for January are down 4 cents at 2060 a hundredweight, and Class 3 milk for February is down 5 cents at 2107 a hundredweight. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For today, a partly sunny sky and a high in the mid-20s. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the low teens, and mostly cloudy for tomorrow. Highs in the low 20s. A little more in the way of sunshine and warming up to the upper 20s on Thursday. Currently, it's 12 degrees.
Every mother talks the same. You ever notice they have these little momisms? They just pass them down through generations. You've heard them all. We've all heard the same stuff growing up. Stuff like, if I had to come up there. You all heard that. Unless you lived in a mobile home, you heard that one. Then I get those punishment momisms. You all had those, right? How would you like a beating? Oh, gee, I'd love a beating right now. That or the ball game? I can't decide. Then she'd get lazy. Go get me something to beat you with. Like, I'm going to come back with a 2x4 with nails in it. I brought her a sponge. Here you go, my whale away. Ouch, you're hurting me. I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. Make it Thursday, I got a test on Wednesday.
Don Rosen.
We're talking about over the river and through the woods. To grandmother's house we go.
Mm-hmm.
Jocelyn Fish is here along with Dan Venny, who is one of the actors here, plays Grandpa in the show. So during the show when I see it, because I have tickets for, I want to say the last weekend. I got it on my phone where my tickets are. Can I yell, hey, Dan?
Absolutely.
It's me, remember? Not to throw you off or anything. Yeah. Now, you just mentioned we were talking during the break there. There's food in the show.
The big, yes. It's a big Italian family, so the very food is very central to
the
plot.
So you have to cook the food there at the Guild, or you cook it at home and bring it in?
Yes. A lot of times they'll prepare stuff at home, and then we heat it up at the Guild. But this one, I think they're cooking everything there, and you are serving partially prop food, but partially real food, and eating on stage.
Mm-hmm. The real food.
The real food, yes. The real food.
So my wife has gone on she cooks, very good cook, and every once in a while she go on a cooking spree. She gets up at 3 a.m. to start preparing the food for the day.
Oh, I don't know why. Wow.
And last night we had orange chicken and brown rice. Oh, it was so good. Then we had these salads that she made. I don't know what she put in them, but they're delicious. And every night for the last few weeks, it's been a new dish.
Yay.
Because I bought her for the holidays. She wanted I bought her a lot of stuff, but she wanted one of those vacuum sealers.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
So we did that, and everything in the house is being vacuum sealed. Even the money, the checkbook, everything's vacuum sealed. But she bought all this stuff in advance, and once you vacuum seal it, you can keep it in there.
Sure.
And now she's working with it. Yeah. And this is great every night to have these meals. It was just me. I'd, take out a frozen burrito and nuke it, and that would be dinner.
Sure.
But she is such a good cook, and she loves doing it. I think she likes doing it.
Yeah.
And she cleans the dishes afterwards. Sometimes I do it, but for the most part,
your wife
does.
Is listening, right?
She will in about 10 minutes.
You should have saved that for later. Yeah.
Well, and in this script, I believe there's a big sandwich plot. There's a big lasagna plot.
Ooh.
There's a big veal. Veal is a very big discussion.
Yes, it is.
Anything else that I'm not thinking of that's in?
Well, what happens to the food if nobody finishes it? It gets finished.
Oh, no, it does not. It barely gets touched.
Yeah, yeah.
When you have lines, it's hard to put.
No, afterwards, after the show's over.
I think they.
I mean, you got a lot of people working there doing stage stuff.
Yeah, sometimes,
if there's leftovers, maybe, I don't know, people might
send
eat
it home
that.
Or. Use it. And, you know, sometimes we feed people in between shows.
So you got to cook these for every performance.
Yes.
And you're going 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yes, 13 shows.
Whoa, that's a lot of food.
That's 13
That'll
meals.
Break the budget.
Yeah. So when people talk about, you know, their tickets, not only are covering, obviously, the rights of the show, but the, like, you know, heat, light, and power of the Theater Guild, and then costumes and props, which includes food and set pieces. And, you know, so your $20, which is the top ticket price, is $20, goes a long way at the Receiver
Guild. So Dan puts on, what, 15 pounds during the year?
A lot of cannoli. We're doing
it's got to be two different costumes, one for the beginning and one toward the end of the run.
I try not to bite too much of it because I don't want to choke while I'm talking, and
cannolis.
I'm trying to not put on another 15 pounds.
Over the River and Through the Woods runs January 10th through the 26th. But before that, you just had the best Christmas pageant ever.
Yes.
I loved it.
Yeah. Sweet show.
It was, Doug Incidence was the, he did the pre before the show, the audience warm up. Anyway, he said, it's an hour and 20 minutes. Now in my head, I heard 120 minutes. I didn't hear an hour and 20. And I said, 2 hours with no intermission. Whoa, that's going to be long. But it was only an hour and 20 minutes, but that's not what my feeble brain heard. Anyway, so it was an excellent show.
Mm-hmm.
The songs were great.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand where you find these kids who know how to act, be on their marks, remember the lines, remember the songs. How you doing?
And it was a lot of new kids, a lot of kids who had never done theater before necessarily, or theater at the Theater Guild. And a lot of growth throughout that show, which I think was
very
lovely
nice.
To see. And, you know, Dan's a retired teacher, and I'm sure you can kind of talk on this, but like kids, they just absorb things in different ways.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So quick.
Mm-hmm. And you can't yell at them. Like you yell at Dan. Hey, stupid.
Yeah.
You tell you messed it. You can't do that to kids.
No.
We don't do that to our actors.
No. Nobody has called
me stupid. I see that movie all the time. The director's out in the first row and he's yelling at the actors on stage. You don't do that?
No.
Oh. Our director is wonderfully nice. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who's the director of the show?
Beth Johnstone Bush. And so she directed at the Theater Guild back in 2005, I think was the last one she did. And she and her husband moved to the East Coast, and now they're back in the area. So this is her first show back.
Couldn't take the East Coast, now.
I guess. He got a new pastoral position, I believe.
Okay, so here was my acting debut. I was auditioning for, I can't remember the show I was auditioning for, but they gave me the script. I got up there in front of, you know, the director. We were on stage. I just remember it was terrible. It was just awful. And I just read the lines. I just read, well, the new show is Over the River. That's just what I read. He said, read the lines. I read them. I didn't realize you had to put some acting into it. I just didn't do well. But I became a stage manager for 4 years. And they figured, well, if he's not talking, we can give him something to do. And I did talk once. It was for 12 Angry Men. And it opens up where they read the verdict, and that's what I read. I wasn't on stage. I recorded it, and that was the end of that. But my big deal with 12 Angry Men is one day my mother comes into my bedroom. What are you doing? I need the blinds for the show. We need Venetian blinds. So I took all the blinds off my bedroom, off the windows, and I brought him in. And in the high school yearbook, there are my blinds.
Oh, my gosh.
In one of the scenes from the. I said, what are you doing? I said, we need blinds.
Yeah.
And, you know, with a high school production, anybody have any blinds you can bring in?
No budget.
And when you work as the stage manager, you're responsible for all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I did that for 4 years. I couldn't act. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't pull
you
it off.
You manage the people, though. That's a big thing. I mean, Dan's done on stage and off stage.
Yeah, crew is so important. Mm-hmm. We're nothing without our crew.
No.
Crew is amazing.
You know, it's hard enough to find an actor. It's going to be bad enough. It's hard enough to find an actor. But you got to find sometimes one that can sing, dance.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are in Racine, Wisconsin.
Racine, Wisconsin. And we have open auditions, which is, you know, it's always a scary thing, but a wonderful thing, because you never know who's going to walk through the door.
Is it like a chorus line? Next! you got to turn people down.
Not
everybody comes in is going to be your star.
Or even just, you know, you only have... Little Women is a great example. We had over 60 people audition for that show, and there were only 10-ish roles. And so sometimes it's not even
60
that
people.
Yeah. It's not even that people aren't talented. It's just who fits into those 10 roles. And so that makes it very, very difficult for the directors to decide. And
Before I saw Little Women at the Racine Theater Guild, I had never seen a movie, never seen the production. I heard about it, and I said, I'm not going to watch that sissy show. I fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. So much so, I went back and I saw the Winona Ryder version, because we have a VHS copy of it. For you people that are too young, VHS, it was like scotch tape, but it was not clear tape. And you put it into a machine and there were images on the screen. A little blurry, but they were there. And occasionally the wrinkles go by.
Yeah, yeah.
So we had that. Then on TCM, they ran the...
Katharine Hepburn?
No, not Kat. Well, they ran that, but there was the other one with...
Something.
What's her name?
That woman with the face.
Come on. You know, with Peter Lawford, he played Laurie, and I forget who played come on. It was Margaret O'Brien was in there, and June Allison.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, we're so young, we don't know what you're talking about.
The June Allison version. Then they ran the Katharine Hepburn version, and my wife said, it's terrible. It's just awful. It's very static. It's just a terrible version. So I took a look at it, and she was right. It wasn't good when you compare it. Then we got the Saoirse Ronan version, and I always said that's her favorite. I didn't like the going back and forth in time. That kind of, I didn't like that. But anyway, it was a great show, great movie. So for the holidays, I got her that seal and meal thing, the vacuum thing. But then I said, you know what? I looked online, and there was a hardcover version with the classic cover of Little Women.
Little Women. Lovely.
So I got her the book, and I got her the Saoirse Ronan version, because she liked that so much. So I got her that, and I got to tell you, I fell in love with Little Women based on the Racine Theater Guild.
Oh, that was...
I had never seen... That's a excellent. Sissy girl show. I'm not going to watch that sissy...
My gosh.
I came out, I was teary-eyed, and... I love it.
That's one of the great things about theater is, you know, it gives you a moment to experience something that maybe you wouldn't have thought you would like. And, you know, there's a lot of people that only like musicals, and then they come see a play and they're like, oh, maybe I actually do like plays.
Well, I saw every version, the talkie version. There were two silent versions of Little Women I didn't see. I don't know where to get them, but I'd like to see them. I'm sure TCM would run them from time to time. They run silence and everything. Growing up, I went to a lot of Broadway musicals. I never went to a Broadway play. My mother did, but I just never went. I went to like 12 or 14 Broadway musicals. For some reason, I never went to a play on Broadway. Yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah. And now you love them at the Racine Theater again.
Now I love them. Now I can see them. Of course, I'm not paying Broadway ticket prices either.
Right, yes.
I mean, when I was a kid, it was $8 to see a Broadway musical. Now it's over $150.
Oh, easily, yeah.
If you can get tickets to some of these hot shows on Broadway.
Yeah. And in our theater, there's not a bad seat in the house.
No, there isn't.
There really isn't.
My wife, she had a cough, and I got to sit in the last row. I said, well, just take some cough drops. And she made it through there. Well, it's not fine when you go...
No, I mean, the last talk.
And you hear occasionally somebody's got the croup in the audience. And everybody gives them that look. First you give them the half look. Then you give them the full look.
The get out look.
But every seat is a winner.
Mm-hmm.
And you're lucky because when you go to a Broadway play, a Broadway theater, those are old theaters.
Yeah, and you're far back and they have no craning leg room. Your neck.
They have no leg room. A lot of those seats are there for 100 years, 80 years, and... It's just an old theater, and they're there, the legend. And you can't tear them down and build new, because they have laws in New York about tearing down old theaters, which is good. I like that. All right, we're talking about Over the River and Through the Woods. We're going to talk about the rest of your lineup coming up in a moment. For the Racine Theater Guild, Jocelyn Fish is here, and Dan Venny. Are you going to be in more, Dan? Dan Venny's here?
Well, I don't know.
He's got to audition. That's the big thing.
Okay. Do we have a role for Whistler's father? You know, like Whistler's mother, but it's Whistler's father.
Yeah. It's got to be somebody old and wrinkly. That's where I fit in.
Okay. All right. More coming up. Keep it right here. Local news. Timeless hits at WRJN today. Partly sunny. Highs near 27. Partly cloudy tonight. Lows around 12. Partly to mostly cloudy tomorrow with a high near 21. Right now, we think it's partly sunny. It's 12 degrees. I have to poke my nose outside. 12 degrees here at Radio Park.
Are your auto and home insurance rates too high? Then call the folks at Bain's AAA Insurance Agency to see if they can help save you money. Licensed in both Wisconsin and Illinois, they have been in business since 2014, serving the Racine, Mount Pleasant, Kenosha, and surrounding areas. Bain's AAA has sold thousands of customers AAA road service, auto, homeowners, condo, renters, life, and umbrella insurance, plus personalized service to fit your family's ever-evolving needs with competitive rates. Call Annette
today at 262-672-4702.
Coverage is subject to all policy terms, conditions, exclusions, and limitations. Discounts and savings opportunities subject to eligibility requirements, subject to underwriting requirements. AAA Insurance is a collection of AAA branded insurance products, services, and programs made available to qualified members. Personal lines insurance is underwritten by Auto Club Group Insurance Company, Auto Club Insurance Association, and AAA Life Insurance Company.
When you cheer on and celebrate the green and gold, be sure to have O&H Danish Bakery's frozen tundra kringle on hand. O&H's famous kringle pastry has a delicious filling of cheesehead cream cheese and dark chocolate tundra chunks. It's perfect for your game time gathering and is absolutely delicious. It disappears fast, so you may want to pick up an extra. Show and share your team spirit with O&H Danish Bakery's frozen tundra kringle. O&H Danish Bakery in Racine, Sturtevant, and Oak Creek.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
The Badgers.
Feeds Max, face the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir. Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk, Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
I don't know why this started, but we can make something out of it. The Beatles, Let It Be. You know, it's funny because I have that show, that movie. Oh, I'm going to let this up.
When I find myself in...
Got through by accident. But anyway, my cousin, who is a huge Beatles fan, he told me, he said, I saw a copy of Let It Be on eBay. Now, Let It Be was put out on VHS, and then Yoko put the skids on it. She goes, I didn't give her permission to use John's music on there. So they pulled it from VHS. But there were copies went out, the original United Artists version. And so I bought it. And you can't get it today. Now you get bootlegs of it on CD or a DVD. But I have the original box for the original version, and it's one of my cherished possessions. My son said, I don't care about any of your thousands of DVDs and everything you got, Blu-rays. I want that. Let It Be. Leave it for me. And I said, you can have it. And I've got it. And it's not a great movie. It's just a document of the Beatles breaking up. Because that's what they did. Yoko broke up the Beatles. I'll be like, oh, Yoko didn't break. He broke up the Beatles. Anyway, so she did it. I saw it. Okay, so we have Over the River and Through the Woods, January 10th through the 26th. And after that comes... Cassius Clay.
Yes. They actually had their first read-through last night.
Now, you're working on that now, even though the show didn't... You're still doing
Of course.
Things happen.
That's, I mean, with Over the River, they had probably one of the more complicated rehearsal schedules because of the holidays.
We rehearsed
and best
in
Christmas
the lobby
pageant.
For weeks.
Yeah. There's always moving parts at the Theater Guild. So, yes, Cassius Clay had its first read-through last night. And it's lovely to kind of just pop in and out of that first read-through because I had the same thing with Over the River where I heard... You guys going through the script, sitting in my office, and there's already like little shining moments, you know, little things. You guys were cackling your first read through because the show's so funny.
Yeah, when I read that in my house, I'm laughing out loud at certain parts of it. It's just hysterical.
Now, when you did Cassius Clay, when you did the auditions, it had to be somebody kind of buff. You couldn't use some pot-bellied fatso like me to go do it.
And, you know, again, you don't know who's going to walk through the door, so a lot of the casting breakdown, because that gave a lot of options of double casting, like someone in two roles and stuff like that, the director didn't decide until, you know, he knew who he had. So it was kind of shifted around who came in and who worked out. So, yeah.
Okay, here at this point, I have to mention what a good cook my wife was. Remember I mentioned that earlier? Now I know she's in the car listening. What a good cook. We had orange chicken and brown rice last night. We had beautiful salad she made the night before. And always she's been cooking.
Yes.
And I just want to make mention what a beautiful, wonderful human being she is and what a great cook.
She sounds excellent.
Terry is just amazing. Okay, now we can move on.
So, yes, Cassius Clay is coming up in
February.
Had
to get somebody buff to get in there.
Yeah, because the really great thing is it's the story of young Cassius. So it's about, I think supposed to be 13 to 20 in this. And so there's there is a young Cassius and there's an older Cassius in this production. So the audience will get to see some of both. And there is going to be some actual choreographed boxing. And so it's going to be fun.
I am 1 degree. You know that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon game? You've heard that. Everybody is 6 degrees away from somebody in this world.
Right.
I am 1 degree away from Muhammad Ali. Mm. 1 degree, and I'll tell you how. I interviewed live in person Mickey Rooney.
Oh, sure.
Wow. I have a picture. I have actual proof of me sitting one-on-one with Mickey Rooney. Mickey Rooney was in a movie called Requiem for a Heavyweight with Jackie Gleason. And in the opening scene, Anthony Quinn is fighting Cassius Clay. Mm. This is 1961, or 62, rather. He's fighting Cassius Clay. So Mickey Rooney was in that scene with Cassius Clay. So I'm 0 degrees away from Mickey Rooney, and he knew Cassius Clay in the film. So I'm 1 degree away from Muhammad Ali.
Yes, indeed.
I got another one. My cousin was in Washington, D.C. once. He worked there for the news service. And it's late at night, and he sees this guy hesitating, crossing the street, and it's the champ.
Mm. Wow.
And he says, "Champ, you want me to help you cross the street?" He said, "Let me take your arm." And he walked him across the street. "You want me to get you to your house?" And he goes, "No, I'm fine." So through my cousin, I'm 1 degree away. And through Mickey Rooney, I'm 1 degree away. So I'm basically,
you know the story.
I'm family.
Yeah.
I would say that.
Yes.
I thought I could be like some kind. You know how you get these people that are, what's the word I'm looking for? They're experts on the, they always show on the credits of a movie. I forget the word. They don't say experts on there, but they're consultants.
Mm.
So maybe I should be a consultant to Cassius Clay on this film, seeing I'm so close.
Yeah, there you go.
A Cassius Clay consultant.
Yes.
So in the film, Requiem for a Heavyweight, there's a poster in the background after he beats the tar out of Anthony Quinn, and this is Cassius Clay.
Yeah.
It was shortly after that he became Muhammad Ali, after he fought Sonny Liston.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so how far do you go in his life?
I think it's until his early 20s, so I don't think Sonny's a character. I think he might be preparing for his fight with Sonny at the end, I want to say, something like that.
When that fight took place, my father took us all into the car to listen to it on the radio. And decades later, I said, "Why didn't we listen to a radio in the house? Why did we have to go into the car and listen?" And all I remember is, "And he's bobbing and weaving, and he's out, and he's out." And then you hear say, "I am the greatest," his famous line. Mm-hmm. And I said, why did we sit in that? We were like 12 of us in the car there, huddling, listening. We have radios in the house. Yeah. Why did we listen in the car?
That's a better memory now.
Yeah.
It is, and I remember the fight with Sonny Liston. I was a little kid. What do I know? But, okay, so you got that. Are you casting yet for Legally Blonde?
Well, actually, first we have Always a Bridesmaid.
Oh, yeah, Always a Bridesmaid. Wait a second. It's right there.
I know. Okay. I jumped around. Always a Bridesmaid, we actually have auditions for coming up January 20th and 21st. So that's 6 women ages about 20s to 70s.
Any guys in that show?
No, all women. All women.
It's like that movie, The Women. You ever see the movie, The Women?
Yeah.
Where they talk about guys, but you never see them on screen. It's got a cast of some of the Norma Shearer, I think Rosalind Russell, a big cast of women, but I think Joan Crawford might be in it, but you never see the guys.
Yeah.
Is that what it's like here? They talk about them, but you don't see them?
There's multiple weddings that take place. So yes, none of the grooms are seen. It's all the brides and bridesmaids. So yeah, those auditions are coming up on January 20th and 21st. And then we move in February 22nd and 23rd to auditions for Legally Blonde, the musical.
Do any of these shows have the same director?
Michael Klickner is directing Always a Bridesmaid. Sean Holmes is directing Cassius Clay. And Doug Instant is directing Legally Blonde.
I was about to say, it must be confusing if you're directing several shows at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what's amazing? And a lot of people don't know this, but in 1939, Gone with the Wind and The Wizard of Oz in the same year had the same director.
Oh, my gosh.
Victor Fleming.
Wow.
What are the chances?
Two iconic movies.
The biggest movies in the history of film and has the same director. How did he do it in the same year?
Artistic brains work in very interesting ways.
Now, I know that Steven Spielberg, when he was filming Schindler's List in Poland, he was editing Jurassic Park at night while he was filming Schindler's List during the daytime. They gave him the film video or whatever to edit it down, and he'd send the videos back to Hollywood, and they'd edit the movie. He's working on Jurassic Park while doing two of the biggest movies of his decade, and he's working on them at the same time.
Yeah.
I can't even do two radio stations at the same time. I get confused.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Okay, so after, well, first of all, Cassius Clay is, it's called, and in this corner, Cassius Clay, February 21st through March 2nd.
Yep.
And we're talking springtime here when always a Bridemaid hits is March 28th through April 13th. Then the big musical. You always ended a big Broadway musical.
Yep, Legally Blonde.
Based on the Reese Witherspoon movie.
Yes, and it's super fun, super peppy. Just, you know, I think we're in a world where people like to go and have a little escapism, and this is just pure fun. Legally Blonde is all kinds of poppy pink.
You gonna have a chihuahua?
We're gonna have a dog. I don't know if it'll be necessarily a chihuahua, but
it's gotta fit in her purse.
Live dog on stage. We've had a couple of different breeds at the theater, so we'll see.
Doesn't that fit in her pink purse or something like that?
Yeah, we'll see. We've had a Wizard of Oz would have been the last time we had a live dog on stage, and it was actually two different dogs.
Oh, that's dangerous because dogs don't follow a script.
Yeah, but one was great at staying, and one was great at being told to come. So they swapped off. Different scenes depending on what was needed.
Wow, kudos. All right, so the big show coming up now and is Over the River and Through the Woods. Good comedy.
Yes.
Very funny, good, snappy, good, funny lines.
Right.
And we've got one of the stars of the show, Dan Venny's here. Good luck, Dan.
Thank you.
You seem like a quiet guy. Do you ever have a part where you had to scream at somebody?
Oh, I do a bit of screaming here.
Good. I got to see that. I know that lunatic. Yeah, he was in our radio station. And of course, Jocelyn's involved with all the shows. Jocelyn Fisher's director of marketing and development at the Racine Theater Guild. And we're giving away tickets?
We will be, yes. I'll get you those details and so people can call you up and come and see Dan and cheer you on.
See,
and
people are hearing free.
Right.
But now, the tickets are not expensive at the Racine Theater Guild.
$20 for this show is the top ticket price. We have senior discounts. We have student discounts. You can call us at 262-633-4218. You can visit us at racinetheater.org. And we highly encourage you get your tickets at racinetheater.org. There are some scams out there these days.
I saw that.
Please look where you're buying your tickets. So thank you.
And there's value nights, too.
Value nights, too. Yeah. Yes. More.
I want you to hold on past this because I want to talk. I want to warn people about that.
Yes, we definitely can chat about that.
It's nothing illegal. But it's a scam.
It's a scam.
It's a legal scam.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to hold on just a few moments here because I did know if you wanted to talk.